The family in this book has the same last name as your own.
Right.
So
it's tricky to say that this is based on my family story, because it's not, but it's also the most personal novel I've ever told. For instance, the novel begins with a place called Yazd in Iran, you know, and my grandfather was a young boy in Iran. He moved from Iran to Bombay when he was 5 years old. He came on a donkey. So that part is true. But then he did not start fruit orchards in Dano. He stayed in Bombay and he owned a tea shop. So I took one part of his journey, and then the other part of the journey is something that's fictional. But my family did own a farm. We owned Chiku Farm. So again, it's hard to... There's a difference between fact and truth. This is what I always say. And this is not about factual information. It's about a higher thing called the truth. And that's what all fiction aims at.
Tell me about both the men.
The grandfather's name is Shapur Irani. And like I said, he came from Iran to Bombay when he was a young boy with his father. And then his father dies. And then he is sort of left to fend for himself. And he ends up starting a liquor stall in Dano at the age of 16, and then he ends up owning land and has a fruit orchard. By the time we see him in 1940, he owns land. He's a landlord. And the other character is Zairos, who's about 25. He's a young Irani man who's sort of lived a life of luxury, you know, carefree, grown up on the farm, didn't have to struggle too much. What was interesting for me was to have a grandfather and grandson relationship. That was the core of the novel, along with Zairos, the young man, falling in love with a laborer on his farm. And because he falls in love with her, he starts questioning the system. He starts questioning the things the way they are. And that's how he learns the truth about his family's history, about the history of the Zoroastrians. There's something has to be a catalyst. Something has to trigger some kind of pain in you for you to look back and ask questions. Otherwise, we just go through life without really reflecting or questioning, or, you know, we just go from day to day to day until something happens, and then we ask questions.
The grandfather and grandson, they're friends. I mean, he goes and he loves to be with his grandfather.
Right.
He doesn't have that baggage that a parental
right.
relationship has.
Right. They are a close family. The issue is more about, it's more a philosophical, moral, ethical issue. It's more, you know, I wanted the love story also to be the focus, and the history, instead of making it about a father and son. And eventually it is, the grandson and the grandfather do clash in the climax of the book. They do clash. But that's the only part. The conflict sort of builds slowly. It's a very subtle conflict instead of it being obvious. You know, it sort of builds in, like there's a rumbling beneath mm-hmm. it all. The tension keeps on increasing until eventually it does erupt between them.
I got to like both of them,
right?
Except that they were both flawed at the same time, and oddly kind of flawed in the same way.
Same way as well.
Fair to say.
Sure, and I think you experience that in families sometimes. You know, as children, we unconsciously pick up on the habits of our fathers and our grandfathers. We unconsciously do it. We replicate their behavior, and yet that's what we dislike most about them. But we are them. And this is again something that I realized in the writing of it, that he's for the first time, he's also going through the same thing that his grandfather went through, you know, in the 1940s or in the 1930s, and he's going through it in the year 2000. So nothing has changed.
So tell me about the grandson's love life.
Someone told me about my great grandfather, how he used to dig holes in the ground at his Chiku farm to hide whiskey bottles. And so that image and the image of the man hanging himself from the tree were the two seeds for the novel. And it started with that, and the story developed from there. And when this young man, Zairos, discovers the dead body, the dead man's daughter comes to collect the body, and that's when he has this sexual attraction for her. In the beginning, it's very animal, it's very sexual, it's all physical. But eventually, that leads to something else. That leads to him questioning his family, his past, the history of Dano, the relationship between the Iranis, who are the landlords, and the Warlis, who are the workers on that estate, who are the natural indigenous people of that region.
The road itself, it doesn't seem to have changed from generation to generation. It's just always kind of there.
In Dhanu, in reality, a lot of the young people have left. My father loved the farm. He loved the trees. He sort of, you know, they were his children or his babies. He used to really feel that way. He was very connected to the earth. I pretty much knew from a young age that I would not be a farmer. I didn't have a knack for it. I was a disaster on the farm. I could barely speak the language at times, and it was just awkward for me. I was more of a voyeur, and that's what I've always been in my life. I think I'm just a voyeur. I like observing. I like diving in, getting a taste of things, and then withdrawing before I, you know, get destroyed.
In some ways, this felt like a bit of an immigrant story, because the grandfather has come from somewhere else, and he does bring a lot of a Persian sensibility with him.
Sure. And it's also the yearning for, well, I wanted, in a way, I wrote the immigrant novel, except that I didn't write about Canada. You know, I wrote an immigrant novel about someone moving from Iran to India and adjusting to that place and making a name for himself, and in the process, struggling to keep his soul intact.
The book is Dhanu Road. I've been speaking with the author, Anna Shirani. Dhanu Road is published by Doubleday Canada.